from the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, that is, 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 through 10, on Pew Bible page 220. Let us hear God's word this morning. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel! Samuel!" And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, and you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Our New Testament lesson comes from John's Gospel. John, the first chapter, verses 43 through 51. And that's on your Pew Bible page 859. Let us hear God's word this morning. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Brothers and sisters, this is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you. We thank you for your word that lights our path and guides our hearts. We ask that it would guide us and lead us and teach us this day. Teach us how we are to serve. Teach us how we are to be your people in a world that cries out for your love, for your compassion, for you. Help us, O Lord, through your word, to hear all the ways you are reaching out to us and to live and serve you. Open your word to us. Guide the meditations of our minds and our hearts today and every day. Amen. It can be interesting, if not almost formulaic, to read certain of the calls of people throughout Scripture. The conversation, the seemingly necessary protest and confusion, there's a bit of foot dragging as people are wondering what God is calling them to do and to be. There's a mixture of willingness and less than willing following. There are all pieces and parts that make up a call story, a call narrative, if you will. They're one of the most important pieces of Scripture, where God identifies humans to partner with and use for a greater purpose. Now, in the initial moment, every time a call happens, the purpose, the end result, doesn't necessarily matter as much as the moving pieces and parts. The end result, the end mission, the end call will matter, but not in that moment. The key moment is whether or not said person will take up that call. And it's almost a to-be-continued sort of moment for there, because there is that cliffhanging point. Will they? I mean, we look at Scripture and we can say, oh yeah, they did. But there is the cliffhanger within that for us, or there should be. And God also calls people from all wakes and walks of life, not necessarily because of who they are, but almost in spite of who they are. Think about this. Moses gets picked. Deborah, the disciples, all of the prophets, and yes, even David. Each one of them is flawed in some way. And Scripture makes sure to tell us of their human flaws, of what makes them a little bit less than what we would expect. They're not called because they're the best and the brightest. Again, Scripture makes sure to list off what makes them not quite on that level. And that's because by underemphasizing who they are, it overemphasizes what God does and is doing with them. God also chooses flawed and less obvious people because that's us. That's us. We are all flawed in some way. There's always something about us that might not be all great and grand. But think about that. When we hear stories about Jephthah and how I'm going to just go out on a limb and say he didn't exactly want Scripture to emphasize what his mom did and who his mom was. Ehud probably would have gone the rest of his life preferring that nobody overemphasized his left-handedness. All of these pieces are emphasized because they remind us again and again and again that God calls average, regular people who are just as broken and as flawed as us to ministry and to serve and work. Their stories resonate with us. Every time we read these call stories, they hit in different ways. Jonah might resonate with us. The persistence of God calling Samuel might sound like our own story. That's the reason why they're so special, because they speak to each and every one of us in many ways. But we also need to exercise a bit of caution, because while they have a similar formula, every one of them, just like every one of our own calls, is different. There are sure similarities, but they are also very different. Philip, when he's called, has this element to which he knows of Jesus. He knows of the disciples. He's from the same town as Peter and Andrew, so there's that connective tissue. So that smooths out his call a little bit. Nathanael, on the other hand, is not so smooth. Philip does his best to try and get him to go. Hey, you've got to hear this man. He must be the one promised in the prophets. But Nathanael doesn't jump for joy at this. He takes a shot at Jesus' hometown. Can anyone come from Nazareth? Anything good? I mean, I take the occasional shot at Detroit for similar possible reasons. Background plays a role. But at his friend's urging, he goes. Now, we can speculate as to the really drilled down reasons. He goes just to shut Philip up. He goes to prove Philip wrong. However that causes him to take those steps, what matters is he does, and then he meets Jesus. Now, the fact is God can speak to us in many, many different ways. Sometimes it's a friend dragging us to see something. Sometimes it's a gentle whisper, it's a raging storm, it's a burning bush, or the mouth of a donkey. God can speak to us in many ways. And if you haven't read Balaam's donkey, it's a great story. But when Nathanael goes and meets Jesus, there's this weird interaction. And if you've ever had one similar to this, they are always strange. Jesus greets him as if he has known him forever. Here's a man in whom there is no deceit. And Nathanael does like we do. How do you know who I am? Because I've never met you. And it's like when you meet someone and they say, oh, I've heard stories about you. And you respond with the equally awkward, all good things, right? Please, 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 none of the childhood stories. It's one of those feeling interactions. It's, oh, I've heard so much about you. And so Nathanael, of course, goes, where did you hear about me? And then Jesus tells him, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. Now, many of us have been on the receiving or even the giving end of these interactions in our lives. I think for me, the penultimate moment was once when I was visiting my brother in college. I had graduated, was working, and had a free afternoon, and I decided I'll go visit Rob and maybe go to dinner with him, enjoy a little brotherly time. And all of a sudden, Rob and I going to dinner was Rob and I and all his friends, and then we had about 20 people going to dinner, next thing I knew. And when we sat down, one of the newer friends looks over at me, and by the end of dinner says, wow, I thought you all had made him up when you told me. So there are these moments. So what do you do when Jesus obviously has some measure of knowledge of who Nathanael is, what he is, and why does that matter? Because there's an added wrinkle when you follow God. God, when God speaks and calls us directly, you know it. You know when God calls. There's a burning bush. How else does the bush burn? You kind of have that identifier of, yes, okay, this is God calling. When a donkey speaks, you kind of know that you're talking to God. When God calls out of the darkness in the inner sanctum of the temple, you know it's God. There's that amount to which you know that God is calling. When an angel visits Mary, she kind of knows who's sending the message. But what do you do if you're one of the disciples And here before you stands Jesus, seemingly an ordinary man. There's this amount to which Jesus needs to identify who he is to these men before they come, before they're called. So he needs to essentially grab them, identify that he's the Son of God without that part. How did Peter know to call, follow when Jesus called? Because he had heard all the stories. Well, obviously, Nathanael's got a little bit further to go than just hearing the stories. What is his background check for Jesus? It's this moment. This moment where Jesus says, I saw you under the fig tree, and I know all of you. I know what is in you, and I am here to call you. Sure, there are moments where God allows the prophets to call down hellfire to light a wet altar. There are moments where God comes in the great moment, but there's an amount where God identifies God's self. Now, not all of us have the available caller ID to know when God's calling. Not all of us have the burning bush to call and say, it's God on the line. But Jesus' caller ID that does away with all of the skepticism about background, does away with all of the boxes needing to be checked for Nathanael, is that he saw him and knew him. That's how Jesus identifies. And when you think about it, Jesus has to hit on this right away. Jesus' ministry is not all that long. From the day he starts being baptized by John, there is this steady walk. And it's not a very long walk as he works his way to Jerusalem, to the garden, to the cross, to the empty tomb. That all does not take very long for Christ to get there. He doesn't have time to waste. Jesus moves quickly. And so he doesn't have time to say, well, Nathanael, why don't you follow me around for a few weeks? And then after the few weeks of shadowing, you can decide whether or not you want to follow and serve me. He doesn't have time. He has to hit right away. He has to let him know right away, I am the Son of God, and I am calling you to serve. And so he does. Now, this great story has two real pieces for us to notice. The first is that God, Christ, knows us. Think about that. Christ knows Nathanael when he's under the tree. How earth-shattering do you think it is for Nathanael to suddenly have that moment happen to him where he understands and sees that God has seen him all that time sitting under the tree? All that time. Maybe he's a little embarrassed because obviously if Jesus saw him under the fig tree, he heard that comment back about Nazareth. And so Nathanael probably a little later on says, you know that comment about Nazareth, I'm really sorry about that, Jesus. He does something like that. But the fact is that God knows us down to our very fibrous being. And that matters because there's a level to which God knows what we can do. God knows what we can be. And when we think that God doesn't, it causes a moment of dissonance where if God is willing to call us, God knows what we can do. We might not really see it, But the fact is, God can. And so when you think about Jonah, when you think about all those times where folks have resisted or tried to push back, Moses, oh God, you know, I'm not really cut out for this. You know, Moses is the great example. I'm not a great public speaker. And on to the next excuse, and on to the next excuse. And God's like, yeah, I knew your excuses, and I knew all of this because I know all of you. You're going. Take your brother with you. Grab your sister and go. God calls us, and God knows us. Flaws and all, warts and all, God knows us. Calls happen all the time. Every day, God calls us. And God participates with us. Think about that. God chooses us. God chose the disciples to work with him. Could Jesus have still done everything that Jesus does without them? Yeah. Think about that. God chooses to work with us. That is honestly one of the most beautiful things. Because God doesn't sit back with his feet up saying, well, I can take care of this. No. God chooses to work and chooses us for that work. Sure, that might feel like a bit of a burden that God is calling us to things, that God is asking us to serve in whatever capacity, to tell, to quote the hymn, the old, old story. But the reality is, it is not a weight or a burden. It is a joyful moment in our lives. Every time we can tell of what God has done, is doing, all that God is in our lives and in our world, those are joyful moments. Those are joyful opportunities for each of us. And so when we have those moments where we're sitting under a fig tree or we're sitting in the depths of the temple and God calls to us, the joyful part is that God has called us. And the beautiful part is that we can participate with God in that ministry, however God is and however God will call us, be it in small ways or large. Exactly. Children of God, let us listen when God calls.